Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Brother Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Our Father, what a word Thou hast given us, an example that we should follow in Thy precious word, to count all things lost for Christ. Oh, work in our hearts this day that each one of us, as we decide for Christ, as we follow Christ, and as we look to Christ, that all things will be counted dung, everything lost, we may know Him and walk in His way day by day. Oh, Lord Jesus, make Thyself known unto us by Thy Spirit. Bless this waiting radio audience, those who are struggling hard with sin, those whose hearts are going out after Thee, wilt Thou draw them with cords of love and kindness, even this day. For it is in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Lover of my soul, let me to Thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Oh, my Savior, high.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We're happy that you're with us today, and do trust God will deal with our hearts as His Word goes forth. We trust it'll go forth in power and much assurance to our hearts. Did you write for your little free book that we're giving away this month entitled A Call to Holiness by J.C. Ryle? You'll want this. It'll encourage your heart, and it'll show you that God not only gives us justification in salvation, but He also gives us sanctification, and that He works it in us by God's Holy Spirit. And Brother Ryle goes into the Scriptures and shows how this gracious truth of holiness is wrought in us by the Holy Spirit. We want to give you this little book, 8 chapters, over 100 pages, entitled A Call to Holiness. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Ask for it by name, A Call to Holiness. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We desire, dear friends, to continue these messages on the subject decision for Christ. What does it mean? That we started last week, and we trust that you will write for your free copy of these messages. Be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Ask for them by name, Decision for Christ. What does it mean? Let us approach our subject today in this way. Everywhere you turn, you hear from most of the evangelical and fundamental pulpits today the cry, make a decision. Side for Christ. Accept Christ and be saved. And in dealing with those who seem concerned about their soul's welfare, the procedure that is followed is the giving of a few verses of Scripture, the saying of a little prayer, the sinners accepting the historical knowledge of Jesus, and then the individual is told by the evangelist or the personal worker or the pastor or the preacher that they are saved forever. As you question this, they say, well, did not they confess with their mouths and believe that Jesus did all that He said He did in the Scriptures? Then therefore they're saved. And therefore they're told that there's nothing else that remains to be done. They are saved and saved forever. You see, the proposition is made to seeking souls on the basis of a historical faith in a man of history called Jesus. Then the individuals are sent on their way believing that they are saved and saved forever on the basis of a decision that has been made in their minds which has not reached their affections. They know nothing of the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know nothing of their sinnership before God, nothing of their totally depraved nature, nothing of their guilt and pollution. They know nothing of their hatred of God and His Christ. In other words, their hearts have never been opened by the Holy Spirit. They've had a little awakening and a little stirring, and somebody's given them a few Scriptures, and they have accepted this, and they've been told that they're saved. And the Holy Spirit has never opened their heart to their true condition before God. They know nothing of what it is to stand guilty before God or what it means to be an outcast from God. They've never been taught by the Holy Spirit the majesty and holiness of the great God against whom they have sinned. And most of all, they know nothing about the demand of the King for a complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And my dear friends, without this knowledge worked experientially in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, these individuals miss Christ and therefore have no knowledge of the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts and lives. They have no knowledge of His preciousness, no knowledge of His glory, of His power, of His beauty, and they see nothing in His death, burial, and resurrection that keeps them and holds them for time and for eternity. And not having the Holy Spirit to work in His convicting power in their hearts, they know nothing about themselves or the precious Savior for whom they have made a decision. And what makes matters worse, they know nothing about true saving faith. That faith that makes the precious blood of Christ our only cleansing and the precious righteousness of Christ our only covering before God. And since they cannot live by faith, they live by sight. Therefore, the things of time and sense mean more to them than the things of far greater value, the things of eternity. For truly, within their hearts, they have made a decision. But the decision has not been for the Christ of the Bible. It has been for a man, Jesus, out of the pages of history. It is nothing but a historical faith. And another sad thing we face today in this matter of decision for Christ is that the individuals are rarely told or shown by practical living the demands of the King. Or you see, the demands of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, are radical, just as radical as they can be. And by the word radical, I mean that the fundamental basis or principle of the kingdom of God is this: the total, irrevocable surrender of all that I am to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm not trying to poke fun. I'm trying to deal with a problem that we face today in the dealing with the souls of men from the evangelical and fundamental pulpits of the land today. And men are drawn out to make decisions, and they know not what they are doing. They do not know the cost of this decision, what it entails, and what the Scriptures demand of them as they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to look to Him only for salvation. No wonder our churches are filled with unsaved individuals. No wonder the churches must put on every gimmick in the world and to turn every trick that they can do to get people to keep coming back and to make decisions and to dedicate their lives and to go further on in the Christian life. Because there's never been a work of grace wrought in the soul. And I do not deal with it, as I said, this matter is sarcastically or poking fun, but I deal with it with a broken heart. Because men are duped and lulled into a sleep of death. And you do not know what the demands of the King is. For you see, what the Word of God teaches in regard to the sinner's relationship with the kingdom of God and its King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that the King demands an irrevocable surrender of all that I am and ever hope to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Scriptures teach that when we follow Christ, we're going to follow Him whatever the cost. You see, what it means is that we are coming to Christ, deciding for Christ, looking to Christ, to take us out of the kingdom of darkness and place us in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of God's dear Son, according to Galatians 1:13. For this to be done, there must be a breaking of our wills and a coming to Him with broken hearts and with contrite spirits. And only the Holy Spirit can do this. This means, dear friend, that there must be hatred on our part for sin. There must be a desire in our hearts that the power of sin would be broken. And only God can do this by His Holy Spirit. This is what we are deciding for Christ for. God would undertake for us and do something that we cannot do for ourselves, and that is to save ourselves. We cannot pick ourselves up our bootstraps with a little mental decision that we make. No, no. When God, it must be God's work in our hearts, and when He works, we no longer then want to live our lives according to the world, but we want to follow Him fully. You see, then we are looking to Christ to give us by His Spirit eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And then we know that when we have this life abiding in us, then we do not make sin the practice and rule of our lives anymore, according to 1 John 3:9. Why? Because the goodness of God has led us to repentance. Therefore, we have taken sides with God against ourselves and our sins. We have changed masters. We want to please Christ only, who bought us with the price of His own precious blood. We have come to Christ. We want Him to rule over us as our head and our master and as our Lord. And therefore, when we hear the demands of the gospel, the demands of close it in with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we must have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that God demands repentance. And this is a far cry from making a mental decision, a historical faith in a historical Jesus, and no demands made upon us. But this decision brings us to a crucified, buried, and risen Christ, who says in Matthew 10:37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me, and he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." And I know what question you're asking, Pastor. Does this mean that when one becomes a Christian, does human affections have no further place in my life? When one follows Christ, must he sever all his family ties? I would say quickly that surely is not what is required here. But I will admit that this is a demand, a very stern demand, made by the King himself. And this is what it means. Listen now. When a human relationship stands in the way of the demands of God's kingdom, there can be but one choice if we're going to follow Christ. If the demand of the King has confronted you, my dear friend, if the King has said, "Follow me," but your father or your mother or even your husband or your wife or your sweetheart says, "Oh no, I'll not have that. You cannot follow Christ and have my affection." And my dear friend, my dear man, my dear wife, my dear husband, there is not but one decision that can be made. You're to follow the King and leave the results in His hands. Even if human affections and family ties are broken, the claims of God's kingdom have priority. The King must come first, or we're not worthy of Him. This is what decision for Christ means. Yes, when it reaches its crisis to follow Christ the King or to follow the family, it must be to follow Him at all cost. If not, you're not worthy of Him. Surely it would be a costly decision. But as it is a decision for eternity, to decide against Christ being the complete rule of your life is to be lost forever, my dear friend. If there is not a complete, irrevocable surrender, then it can only mean that you have chosen hell and turned your back upon God's only way of salvation, and that through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd rather spend time without anybody than to spend eternity without Christ. And there is another thought brought out in Matthew 10:38 that shows the demands of the King, and is this: "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Here again is the ultimate cost of decision. And you may ask the question, what does it mean to take one's cross? Well, let's look at it again. "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Again, I make the statement, here is the ultimate cost of decision. And again, what does it mean to take one's cross? Listen, people often talk about the difficulty of cross-bearing. "What a cross I have to carry," they say. "You know, I have a physical cross. I suffer from migraine headaches or ulcers, or I have arthritis or rheumatism. But physical weakness and pain is laid upon me. You don't know the deformed child that I have to care for. Oh, what a cross I have to bear year in and year out." Others talk of the cross that they must bear because of problems they have to face. "My husband is short-tempered. What a cross I have to carry and putting up with his disposition." Others say, "My cross is the necessity of working in an environment that is not Christian. I hear profanity and uncleanness day after day. What a heavy cross I must bear." But my dear friend, such experiences are not crosses. They are indeed burdens. And sometimes these burdens crush us to death, don't they? But my dear friend, a cross is not a burden. Listen to me now. A cross is a place of death. You and I should never talk about bearing the burden of the cross. When you and I take up our cross and we admit that we are ready to die. You see, a cross is an instrument of death. And a cross is a place of death. Therefore, the King says, when you decide for me, remember you must be ready to die for me. You must be able to say with the Apostle Paul, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified unto me and I unto the world. This is what cross-bearing, this is what cross-bearing means, my dear friend. A readiness to die with Christ and for Christ unto the world. It means complete dedication to Christ, even though this dedication cost me my life. It means an act of self-surrender that holds nothing back, not even life itself. It means that my life, my will, my ambitions, my desires, my hopes are all given up to Christ the King. It means that I count myself as dead, that Christ may live and reign His life in me. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it, according to Matthew 16. Yes, that is what is meant by taking up the cross and following Him. Are we willing to follow Him at this cost? This is what it means, my dear friend, to decide for Christ. But I wonder how many times you've been told this. Personal soul winner, do you deal with souls on this basis? Pastor, preacher, teacher, do you deal with souls on this basis, telling them the truth of what it's going to cost them? It's going to cost them the world and their sins and everything they ever hold dear. All is to be given up to Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it like this in these words in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Have you and I been crucified with Christ? Are we following Him at this cross? We should think along these lines. This is what it means to decide for Christ. You see, the taking up of the cross is something that takes place in the depths of the human spirit, and it is a must. It is one of the King's demands in our relationship to Christ, and this is what is meant by decision for Christ. We must take up the cross and follow Him. We must die. If I am willing to die for Christ, then my life is not my own, it is His. My life belongs to Him, which includes all phases of my life. You see, cross-bearing involves the question of lordship, rulership, kingship. You see, Christ does not rule my life until I count myself dead, crucified with Him. Dear friend, there can only be one ruler in my life, self or Christ. When I take up my cross and die, Christ rules. And the Word teaches that this is the demand of the King. We do not follow Him for the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. We do not follow Him just as an insurance policy against hell. We do not follow Him because He's going to give us happiness. Oh no, we follow Him because we love Him. We follow Him because we love Him and see what He has done for us. My dear friend, do you know what we're talking about? Have you experienced this dying with Christ that the Word of God teaches? This crowning Jesus Christ as King and the Lord of your life? Now don't accuse me of preaching a false doctrine. Oh no, I have the Word of God on my side. This is the truth of God's Word. Matthew 6:24 puts it like this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world. The Word says you cannot. So there's got to be a dying to the world. There's got to be a putting away of the world. And there's got to be a dying to Christ. This is what decision means. You cannot serve God and mammon. But he who has been born again by the Spirit of God has been made a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And therefore, this individual can follow the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done for him. Now here you ask Him the question, what does a person in this life sell out to Christ, the King, and follow Him completely? Why does he do it? Why does a man do this? It is because he has seen a beauty and a glory in the person of Christ that breaks his heart and makes him cry with the Apostle Paul, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Our heart's cry is, Lord, I want you. Blessed Lord, I want you to be mine for time and for eternity, because thou art the perfect substitute for my soul. I see in thee, O Lord Jesus, a complete saving, O Lord. I see in your death, your suffering, your being forsaken of God, a complete satisfaction to God's holy law for all of my sins. I see in your blood a complete washing away of all my sins. I see in your resurrection my complete justification before God. I see in your righteousness a perfect covering and a perfect standing before God. I see in all of thy suffering your love for my never-dying soul, and therefore I come to you. Blessed Lord, I can have no less, but give my all up unto thee because of what thou hast done for me and that thou hast laid down thy life for me. And therefore I see a preciousness in Christ, a beauty in Christ, a loveliness in Christ, and he's won my heart, and I need him and must have him. So I'm willing to count all things but loss and take up the cross and follow him and die to the world, because only in Christ can I be delivered. Only in Christ can I be saved. Only in Christ can I have my sins forgiven. Only in Christ can I have eternal life. Only in Christ can I have that refuge from God's wrath that he gives, and that is in the person of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, you see, what making a decision means, this is what it entails. And I pray that God will deal by his Spirit in your heart, and that you too will come to know this blessedness and this preciousness and this beauty that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you care for a copy of this message? Will you write us? We'd be happy to mail it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.